Summer is just around the corner, and it's an especially busy time for the American Red Cross. Regular blood donors are on vacation while the need for donated blood remains the same. The arrival of summer also means the arrival of summer weather. Red Cross volunteers spring into action any time of the day or night to assist the victims of tornadoes or flooding. I'm WBBM News Radio's Rob Hart, and this week on At Issue, we talk with Tammy Winchester and Mara Thompson of the American Red Cross about their mission and why you should become a regular blood donor this week on At Issue.
Thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
Now, describe the need for donor blood, especially around the spring or summer, because the last time we had this conversation, we were approaching the holidays, and that was the time of year when everybody gives of their time or financially or through other means. But now we're approaching the midpoint of the year, and what is the need for donor blood as we approach the summer months?
During the summertime is just as critical as the holidays. There's always a need. The need is constant. Potential donors are vacationing and forget about the patients in need of life-saving blood products. So right now we're currently asking for everyone to roll up their sleeves. Type O is needed. So this is a critical time of year as we're approaching the summer months.
And not to get too morbid, but is this a critical time of the year above and beyond the fact that people are on vacation and your regular donors are just not available? But also, are we talking about a greater need just because there are more accidents during the summer months because people are more active?
I'm going to say all of the above, actually. People are not available because they are vacationing. But as we get into the warmer months, people are traveling more. They're driving or they're boating, boating. So you're seeing more accidents. And people typically schedule their surgeries during vacation times. So with that being said, the blood products need to be readily available.
And then, what is the biggest area of need as we approach the summer months? Is it just donor blood itself, plasma, or platelets?
All three of those blood products are extremely important for us at the Red Cross and for the hospitals that we serve. We have to collect about 12,500 units of blood every single day to meet the need of our hospital partners. And so all three of those products are extremely important for us.
And then as we approach the end of the school year, it's also a time, at least in my own experience, that's when schools have their blood drives as you approach the final month of the school year. And why is it important when having these school blood drives to really get younger people into the habit of becoming regular blood donors?
Yeah, I'm sorry. High school students are future blood donors. So we put great effort into educating our high school kids so they can be the future blood donors forever. And we look for them to support us during the summer months. And we have great programs right now, Leaders Save Lives. Those programs are from 17-year-olds to 24-year-olds. And again, they're our future blood donors. So that's why it's important that we continue these relationships with our young donors.
In your experience, do you think younger donors, are they more likely or less likely to donate blood compared to, let's say, their older siblings or even their parents?
I think as a high school student, the kids are excited about the experience, especially for first-time donors. They're excited about saving people's lives, the education behind it, the giveaways behind it, the cookies and juice behind it. So as a youth, they are excited about donating blood. We encourage them to share this experience with their parents and their older siblings. So I think it's just stories that they can share with each other, and they are our future blood donors.
And even though we encourage students of all ages to be very fastidious in their studies, but one other benefit of donating blood during school hours is you get out of class.
Yes, that's still the same. They get out of class for periods of time, as well as some townships, they still give extra credit. They give service learning hours. So there's a lot of incentives behind our use of participating in blood drives.
Now, how have the rules changed regarding blood donation? Because there was a time when there were restrictions on blood donation, especially with respect to travel or maybe you got a tattoo recently. Mm-hmm. Are some of those rules still in place or have they been relaxed over time?
They've relaxed over time. So, you know, many years ago, you had to wait 12 months if you received a tattoo. Now the tattoo, as long as the tattoo is healed, so you don't have to wait those 12 months. It can be 30 days and you're able to donate with a new tattoo. As far as traveling, certain areas have been lifted as far as malaria areas. So the policies and the rules have been lifted over the years.
And then in your experience, you know, when it comes to getting younger donors, especially turned into regular donors, what is the biggest barrier that people report? Is it really just a fear of needles, or are there other factors keeping people from, especially younger people, from turning into regular blood donors?
I want to say most recently is still the fear of needles. I was just in a high school earlier this week, and that was the conversation that they're afraid of needles. So I want to say that's still a challenge for us to encourage people to have this experience of donating blood. I don't personally like needles, but I'm a blood donor. So there's just kind of getting through that fear.
Now, Mara, in terms of selling people on the idea of blood donation, let's talk to the people who have a fear of needles who may be listening right now, but they want to donate, and you just have to sell them on the experience. So when you're trying to get someone to become a blood donor, what's your sales pitch? What's the elevator pitch for blood donation?
Absolutely. So I can speak on this very personally because I was not a blood donor for a very long time because of my fear of needles. But I would suggest to everyone, just give it a try. Try it one time. If it's a horrible experience, you hated it, I understand we won't ask you to come back. But I think majority of people will find that it's really just the fear that is taking over them. It's really no, I think one of the worst parts about donating blood was actually the finger prick that hurt more than the needle going in your arm. And the Red Cross has since gotten rid of that finger prick. We're able to do it with a different machine now that is less invasive. And so I would just encourage people to try. There's probably someone you know, whether it's a family member, a friend, someone that you know has likely needed blood or you will need blood at some point. And so you want to make sure that it's there for people when they need it most. And blood can't be manufactured. It can only be donated. And so it's so important that people come and donate and just get over that fear. I guarantee you it probably won't be as bad as you think it's going to be.
Now, we talked a little bit about just the greater demand for donor blood over the summer, just because, as you pointed out, people go on, you know, they schedule their elective surgeries during summer vacation time. There are just more accidents because people are out and about in the warmer weather. But over the course of the year, let's talk about just the demand for blood, you know, January to December. Are donors able to keep up with demand? As you point out, you can't manufacture it. People have to roll up their sleeves. Are we doing a good job?
Well, only 3% of the population that is eligible to donate blood actually does. And so if we were able to get that up even just a little bit, that could make a big difference. But we do okay regularly, but the blood that we have only sticks with us for about a week before it's being used. And so if we have those periods of time where people are on vacation, our regular donors aren't there, we really do rely on our regular donor base to keep that donor supply up or that blood supply up. So if that's why we see those, you know, big decreases quickly, because if 50% of our donors aren't donating for a period of time, then that could make a big impact. And so that's why it would be great if we could get that 3% up, even to 4% or 5%, so that we know that we can have that consistent blood supply in the shelves.
Now, let's talk about what happens afterwards. Once you're done making your fist, once that bag has been filled, once you have your cookie and your juice and you're on your way with the rest of your day, what can that one bag of blood, of donor blood, do for a patient or patients?
Well, that one unit of blood is broken up into three components, red cells, platelets, and plasma. So once we collect that unit, we are taking it back to the labs. It's being typed and definitely being distributed to the hospitals that we supply. So definitely the gift of life.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We are talking about summer blood donation with Tammy Winchester, Emerging Markets Manager, Donor Services Recruitment, and Mara Thompson, Communications Manager for the American Red Cross. Now, we talk about donation in terms of donating blood, but there is also the financial component to giving as well. And we had this conversation at the holidays. That is the time of year when everybody donates to causes nearest and dearest to them. They're either moved by just the spirit of the season, or they want to, you know, do some last minute tax preparation before the end of the year. But regardless of why people do it, they are giving a lot monetarily. And that is when a lot of organizations such as the Red Cross set their budgets for the year. Where are we right now financially in the giving cycle for the American Red Cross as we approach the month of June?
You know, we're in a pretty good place. The Red Cross obviously has a lot of corporate support and individual donors that make our mission possible. And we know that 90 cents on the dollar goes directly to our mission. So that can leave our donors feeling really good that they know that their money is going directly towards our mission. But we are always in need of financial donations. One of the challenges that we've had this year is our home fire response. We've been responding to a ton of home fires over the winter months. And because this winter was so cold in Chicago, it costed us a little bit more than we were expecting to respond to all those home fires and make sure people had a safe place to go, that they were warm and had a safe shelter for the night that their home fire was, you know, they experienced their home fire. So, you know, the Red Cross is in a good spot, but we are always looking for people to make those financial donations to help us complete our mission.
Yeah, I think we talk about the conversation on At Issue today is about blood donation, but there is so much more to the American Red Cross mission. And now that the summer months are here, or at least summer-like temperatures are here, the summer months are just around the corner, we're approaching severe weather season, and we're approaching a time of strong thunderstorms or even tornadoes that could devastate neighborhoods. I mean, it wasn't too very long ago I was on the streets of Woodridge after that Father's Day tornado, and people were assessing the damage to their homes. Some homes were simply uninhabitable. And in addition to law enforcement and first responders on the scene, the Red Cross was there to help people who were found themselves displaced by the storm. After the cameras leave and after the reporters leave, what does the Red Cross do to help someone who may find themselves a victim of a natural disaster?
Thank you so much for asking this, because I hear all of the time that I didn't even know that the Red Cross did this, or I wasn't aware of the services that the Red Cross provides. And so what the Red Cross does is they respond after these natural disasters or home fires, and we help people with their immediate needs, what their next step is in that moment. A lot of times, people don't even know where they're going to stay that night. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so that's where we come in. We help them. They make sure that they have a roof over their head, warm meals, that emotional support, spiritual care, you know, disaster mental health, the things that make sure that the person that is experiencing potentially probably one of the worst days of their life has what they need in that moment. And then further down the line, we help them with the next steps to recovery, maybe getting them in touch with other organizations that can help with long-term housing or other resources that they may need. We kind of assess those needs and help them and put them on the right steps to making sure they're on that road to recovery.
And another emerging climate threat to the Chicago area has been flooding. And that is the rainstorms in the Chicago area are becoming more severe, and that parts of the region that are prone to flooding can experience devastating flooding. And even many years later, it's still taking a long time for people who are affected by those floods to get back on their feet. And I remember going to Red Cross shelters following serious floods. And, you know, how long are those Red Cross shelters in place typically after there is a devastating event like a flood?
It changes. Every disaster is a little bit different, but we want to make sure that we know that everyone that's staying in our shelter, they have a next place to go. So sometimes the shelter might be open for a couple of days. Sometimes it might be a couple of weeks, but we work with all of the people staying in our shelter to make sure that they have a safe place to go after our shelter closes.
Now, Tammy, when it comes to natural disaster response and blood donation, talk a little bit about this, the organization and coordination between various sides of the Red Cross mission, making sure that donor blood is available to medical facilities when there is a natural disaster.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the natural disasters, many blood drives are canceled or have to be rescheduled. But we continue to push forward with the mission, with the asks for people to consider donating where there are facilities. We have our fixed sites readily available for donors to come in just about 7 days a week, open blood drives for communities, churches. So when there's disasters and we have to schedule and cancel, we just put those blood drives out there in the forefront of where donors can go who are able to donate and help us.
One of the it's something that usually happens after a natural disaster is that there really is an uptick in blood donation.
Yes.
And in some cases, you could be over donating. And how are you able to send the message to donors who you want to help out in a natural disaster when they see something in the headlines where it's like it's thank you for your generosity, but come back mm-hmm. at a different time because the need is constant.
Yeah, well, the need is constant, and one can donate every 56 days. I think that there's never enough blood that comes in. Again, as I mentioned, the need is constant. But what we try to do is our messaging is basically driven on maybe particular types. Type O is needed right now. And so we try to put that messaging out there strategically in the different communities of If you know your blood type, please step up. You know, right now we are pushing power reds, and that's based on your blood type. So that's basically what we do after and during the natural disasters.
Now, how do people discover their blood type? Because if someone were to ask me, what's your blood type, I would pull a letter out of the air, and there's a 50-50 chance that I would be correct. So for those of us who want to meet this need but may not be able to rattle off our blood type at the drop of a hat, what can we do?
The first thing that I say, the easiest thing to find out, easiest way you can find out your blood type is to donate blood. That is the easiest way, and no cost to that particular person. So you can find out your blood type once you donate blood, and we will notify you of your blood type in a few weeks after that donation, and that's how you'll find out.
And then, Mara, when talking about just the natural disaster response as well, it's above and beyond finding shelter for someone, because you mentioned it is potentially the worst day of your life if you find yourself the victim of a flood or a tornado or a fire. And even though the rest of the world sadly moves on after that, you're alone with your tragedy, with this terrible thing that happened to you, and you're trying to get your life back together. So what are some of the second day or third week or fourth month responses that the Red Cross can provide to people who are victims of a natural disaster?
You're right. After the cameras, pack up, these people are still dealing with this for a long time. And, like I said, we work with them to try to get them into a place. You know, obviously, if they're the victim of a home fire and their home is a complete loss, they will be out of that home for a long time while it's rebuilding. So we work to connect them with other resources that might be available to them. We help them potentially with some financial aid, maybe allow them to put down a security deposit on a new place. Things like that. Work with the Salvation Army is one of our great partners. I know they give a lot of our clients vouchers to get furniture and other things for their new places. So there's a lot of different ways that we connect. We wouldn't be able to do this work alone. We rely on other organizations to work together to make sure that people have what they need.
We like to tell people to be prepared in the event of a natural disaster, but unfortunately, until you are the victim of a natural disaster, you don't really know how prepared or unprepared you may be for that eventuality. And there's a story of people who were victims of Hurricane Helene in the Carolinas several years ago. They were miles away, hundreds of miles away from the coast, but flooding caused by the storm devastated their town. And then that's when they found out the limitations of their insurance policies. That's when they found out a lot of things they simply didn't know. And so how can the Red Cross spring into action for people who may have found out at the worst possible time that there were limits to their insurance coverage?
Well, I mean, there's not much to do about that besides I would say everyone should look into their insurance policy, always be prepared for the unexpected. That's, you know, we're in disaster response. We see it all the time. People saying, I never expected this to happen to me. And, you know, especially with the way that the climate crisis is happening right now, people are going to be seeing a lot more natural disasters, maybe things that they haven't seen before. So I would suggest that people, you know, take a good look at that if that's something that is important to them. But I also just want to say, people be prepared. Take, you know, if a storm is coming, make sure you have the weather alerts. Make sure you're paying attention to the news because really at the end of the day, things can be replaced, but you and your family cannot. And so our priority is making sure you and your family are safe. Have a, you know, go bag ready with important documents, ID, any medication you might need if a storm is coming into your area. Have your car filled up with gas. Know where you're going to go in case of an emergency. Because like I said, the important thing is making sure that you and your family are safe. Other things can be replaced, but you can't.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart. We are talking about the mission of the American Red Cross, especially as summer approaches, with Tammy Winchester, Emerging Markets Manager, Donor Services Recruitment, and Mara Thompson, Communications Manager for the American Red Cross. Tammy, going back to blood donation and the mission of blood donation, we talked a little bit about blood types, especially blood types that are necessary. But what are some rare blood types that are especially needed by hospital patients?
I want to say O negative would be that type that we can use immediately for transfusion. We don't have enough O negative on the shelf. I always say that is all blood types are needed. Let me say that. But O negative is a particular type that you can transfuse any patient immediately.
And then we talked a little bit about the hesitation on the part of some for donating blood. And the big one, of course, being fear of needles and getting past that fear of needles. But are there other myths surrounding blood donation that keep people from donating? And if so, how can you, you know, talk them out of that?
Well, as I mentioned, talking about the fear of needles is still an ongoing conversation. There are other myths out here that I try to honestly stay away from. You know, people feel that we sell the blood. People feel that the blood would not be readily available for them if they need blood. So there's a lot of myths and excuses out there for people to for their reasons for not wanting to donate blood. But for me, what I encourage potential blood donors or maybe a first time blood donor is just have the experience. Try it, because there is someone definitely that needs that unit of blood and you can save someone's lives. You just never know. It may be you or a family member. So I try to take that approach when I am speaking with someone, is that, you know, consider the patient in need.
How has the process changed over the years in terms of just the actual blood donation process itself? Because if you're kind of a few years removed from it, maybe you remember doing, you know, donating blood at a school blood drive, as you talked about before. Maybe there's a work blood drive event. But you know, how has that process changed over the years? Are there fixed sites where it can happen all the time? And then, you know, how has technology changed to allow that donor blood to get to a person in need faster?
Technology has definitely improved the process. A couple of things. There's a donor app that that you can download. You can go to your Google app or Apple Store and donate Red Cross donor app. Schedule your appointment. You can also go online and schedule your appointment. Once you do that, then you can follow your unit of where your unit of blood is going to whatever hospital. So that's a cool feature that we do offer now. As far as we have a rapid pass where you can answer those questions, it's about 50 questions about your own medical history. You can do that right before you come into the blood drive. That will kind of cut down on that time once you're there. So the process can take about 45 minutes to an hour, but technology has definitely helped the process because, again, you can find travel and take your blood, follow your blood type to what hospital, and you can expedite that process by pre-registering.
Now, that's pretty cool. That's something I didn't know, that you could actually, obviously, for legal reasons, you can't find the person.
You can't find the person, but you can
just track them down and say, oh, by the way, you're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow your unit, and I think it's cool. And speaking of about high school students, the students love the app, following, you know, downloading the app and following their blood, where their unit has gone, where they're identifying their blood type. They didn't know, so now they know their blood type through this through the blood donor app.
Now, Tammy, let's say we have made the sale with someone listening right now. They got over their fear of needles. We have dispelled whatever myths that may surround blood donation. They want to do it. What are some things that you can do to be prepared for blood donation? Because I remember there were some things you could do to get ready for the big day.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to stay hydrated. You want to eat a good meal. You definitely want to get some rest before you donate blood. And those are the three things that you will want to do to prepare.
Now, do we still have to beef up our blood to make sure you have plenty of iron before you donate, or is that gone by the boards?
Well, it's not gone by the boards. Every donor is different. You can beef up your blood. You can definitely eat some beef and a good high in iron meal, cereal, watermelon. You know, you definitely want to have a good balanced meal before you try to donate, and again, be hydrated.
Now, let's say there is not an organized community blood drive in your future, but you want to give. We talked about the app. What are some resources that will help you find a blood donation center?
Go to www.redcross.org/blood to find your local blood drives, and search by your zip code, and you will have a whole list of available blood drives in your area.
And Mara, if you want to help out in a natural disaster, either financially or as a volunteer, where can you go?
It's going to be the same place. You're going to go to redcross.org, and it has all of our volunteer opportunities and ways to give. Volunteering is another amazing way to give back. If maybe you're afraid of needles and maybe you aren't in a place for a financial donation, donating your time is very valuable, as 90% of the Red Cross is made up of volunteers.
And very quickly, let's talk about some of those volunteer opportunities. What can you do if you want to volunteer?
The question is, what can't you do? There are so many different volunteer opportunities at the Red Cross. No matter what your background is, we have volunteers of all ages, all backgrounds at the Red Cross. So you could be, you could see Tammy at a blood drive and be a blood donor ambassador, greeting people, hanging out at the canteen. You could respond to fires overnight. We have opportunities where you can be virtual at home. So if you're interested in giving back, there's definitely opportunities. And again, we don't require a certain amount of time. You could have 1 hour this week and 10 hours this week. We would love to have you.
Mara Thompson and Tammy Winchester of the American Red Cross, thank you for joining us on At Issue. If you want to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, and the iHeartRadio app. Join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.